Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Oh my, what a show we have today, because we have Budrick Elliott in the booth.
But you can say hi here.
What's going on, y'all?
Air horns!
Next
if
to...
you don't know Bud, Bud is the proprietor of Tomahawk Nation. Bud is also...
And four other Twitter accounts, he told me.
At least four other Twitter accounts.
Wait. I know of one other Twitter account.
Go ahead, list them.
All right, so SBN list Recruiting, them. Which is the one you should follow for this show. Backup Tomahawk, which is the one I created when I used to get in Twitter jail, but Chris Thorman has now kind of cleared me, so I don't get throttled anymore if I want to go on like a Twitter spree. And then the NCAA said we can't tweet live from the press box at baseball during playoff events, so I created FSU Play-by-Play, which we almost never use except during like baseball playoff season. And it's annoying to tweet play-by-play from like your main account, so if you want to have baseball play-by-play, college baseball, you can follow that. Occasionally we'll use that.
And at your fifth account, Trail Ballins.
Yes.
Rogue POTUS. Rogue POTUS staffer.
Rogue.
He's doing that. He's doing
rogue,
all of it.
Yeah, Rogue Jimbo.
It's true. Where Jimbo's in total control, it's like complete propaganda. It's great. It'd be like, he's just raking in five stars, and everyone's completely happy with him. And his truck looks clean this week.
It's like the DPRK media account. dear leaders, vertical leap is really improved.
Dear leaders, all natural hair looks better than ever.
Dear leaders, shining, glimmering mat of hair is ever expanding.
Hair Island is now truly Hair Archipelago.
Opinion, does Dear Leader have too much hair?
More like a hair Pangea.
You know, yesterday it was slipping a little bit. I spotted that on...
You think he needs a little maintenance?
Perhaps, especially if he's going to get an endorsement deal, which you're in Florida. We have all these old folks. You should definitely get a hair plug endorsement deal. You got to make sure you're looking right before you really go and pitch the endorsement.
I think of it less as hair and more of like a putting green and be like, he's just mixing it up. You know? Oh, Jimbo's hair is running a little faster today. Look at that.
What is Jimbo's hair on a step meter?
To add some challenge, is that it?
That's right.
It's like a 14.
Right. Oh, he's got Sunday hair today. Usually he's got his Friday hair on, but woo.
Jimbo, you might need to tiger proof that hair a little bit.
You try to land a 6-iron on that hair. You can't do it. Bounce right off. Welcome back to our golf podcast.
That was how FSU did yesterday. The only worry was Jimbo's hair. That's all you really need to know about.
That's really it. Yeah, they just did everything well.
Did anything bad happen yesterday to Florida State recruiting wise?
Oh yeah, like 80% of the day was a meltdown in the comment section because they started the day with a 4-star backer from Georgia.
Yeah.
They missed on their next 6 targets, which were kind of or next 5 guys, which were they had some shot at. And so people are like, oh, this class is shot. I'm like, well, they did enroll like one of the best early enrolling classes in the nation, and they're pretty loaded. And then they get Marvin Wilson, and everybody was happy once again.
Good. I like that I'm going to say you've turned into it, but it's probably like a multi-tiered effort where Florida State fans are now sort of like crazed stockholders that are like, the stock only went up 18%. We missed projections. This is bullshit. What are we doing here? That's fun. Florida recruited as well. That's all we're going to say about it. Please.
Hey, Florida had a good day.
If you say so.
Florida shocked the world by bringing in enough 3-stars to crack the top 10.
Hey, Florida went back to its roots. Okay? That's all you need to know.
The Spurrier. Yeah, that's right. They brought back Spurrier, so it's all part
of the
plan.
Brought back Spurrier. The recruiting class sitting around, what, 10? 10th
yeah.
in the nation?
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's traditional. I mean, you don't want to get too big too fast, that the Urban Meyer model where you get a little tipsy and yeah, the shareholders become irrational. All of a sudden, like, nothing's good enough.
Right.
And yeah, maybe you recruit a guy who goes on to kill somebody. I mean, I put that last.
I mean, granted, you're only like 17 spots ahead of Texas, which is pretty embarrassing.
Hold on, we're not digging USC for bringing on a recruit who went on to kill somebody. Like, how long does this last?
Yeah,
be fair.
What's the, what's the statute of limitations here? Bud, you'd know. We've got two lawyers on here. We can answer this.
Neither of us are licensed to practice in California.
Or me anywhere else, as it turns out. Can we talk about who really won signing day, though? And we didn't find out until today.
Do we have to?
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Oh, they did.
You know why? Yeah. You know why? Because they changed the whole damn recruiting metric.
They evaluate who really loves to play the game.
That's right. You're out there caring about things like speed and agility and strength and experience and skill. Not Butch Jones, man. Butch Jones only cares about one thing.
Five-star heart.
Starry hearts. Which, let me be clear, if you have a five-star heart, you should go to the doctor right away. You have at least one extra ventricle, and that's not ideal.
Here at the University of Tennessee, we're pleased to announce we've signed Captain Planet.
I want to start with a review of the works of Butch Jones over the past 9 months or so. That he did answer Tennessee's disappointing 2016 season by saying that they'd already won the championship of life. So really, what's the SEC championship to anyone? I quote, championship of life. Additionally, Butch Jones, when regarding the team winning the SEC East as a goal for the year, said, well, you never heard me talk about it. When in fact, I believe Butch Jones had explicitly talked about it on several occasions. So there's another list of another thing Butch Jones said. Butch Jones, in addition to the five-star heart, right, mm-hmm. is fond of saying the brick-by-brick mantra, right?
Yes. Build
this program brick-by-brick.
Which is confusing because bricks don't have hearts.
Bricks don't have... I mean, yeah, and in addition to that, really, like, it never mentions mortar.
Unless... Butch Jones has a wall in his basement that's made of petrified human hearts. I think maybe we've been getting this all wrong. Maybe we think it's all rah-rah motivational bullshit, but the championship of life actually refers to human lives that Butch Jones has taken, and he keeps trophies of them in a basement in a wall.
Can we talk about how fucking metal Butch Jones is? I do like the no mortar theory because that means you're just literally building a pile. That sounds about right.
I mean, that worked for Phil Fulmer. He just got some big bricks. And it's that, like, well, look, here's John Henderson. That's a big brick.
And that fits with Tennessee's season as a whole because, you know, you start stacking it and you're like, oh, this is looking pretty good. I'm sure it doesn't have any structural problems. And then it falls and many injuries result in the process.
Tennessee football. The whole thing looked like Eastern Michigan's entrance.
My God.
Yeah, it's rough. By the way, Bud, how was their recruiting day overall?
It was okay. They got the number one ESPN player, Trey Smith, who's a five-star, and Butch Jones tweets out five-star brick by brick with fireworks photos when they get a five-star. So he does seem to care about that a little bit when they actually get him. His sister also works for the school, which is really smart recruiting.
How's that work? Are you trying to say maybe that occasionally there's a correlation between a relative getting a job at a school or an associated business and a recruit? You wouldn't say that.
Hold on. Ivy League schools get to do legacies. What's wrong with that? You saying the Ivies aren't something to aspire to?
I might say that their selection for talent and overall fresh blood entering the system, not exactly the best model. No, I'll go out on that limb. Absolute hater.
We have to get to questions quickly because I don't know anything about recruiting, and I'm only allowed to say that now that I got done yesterday hosting a 2-hour National Signing Day show. Our company makes some interesting choices.
Bud was on it, so we're good.
Bud was on it, and so is Amy Campbell, and they're very talented, and they actually pay attention to this. I'm going to start with this question from Trayton Miller at Trayton Miller on Twitter. How funny is it that Texas can't recruit in the state of Texas?
Oh, it's real funny. I mean, yeah. I think if it happens next year, then we're going to ratchet up the funniness a whole lot.
To a major level.
Yeah.
Like, but why can't they do this?
I don't know if Tom Herman had the connections that Texas fans thought he had in that state. And I also think that they missed on some top kids. They didn't reach a whole lot. know, they flipped a kid from UCF, but they kind of did pocket some scholarships and said, look, we'll get back to you next year. If we have a better year on the field, we'll probably have a little more momentum.
Well, and UCF in exchange flipped a kid from Maryland.
Who is almost certainly not going to qualify. But,
No, that's, come on, that doesn't. Does that matter in the ACC with a team like Maryland in the ACC? It doesn't matter.
Why do you think Maryland's in the ACC?
Because they play Auburn every year.
Yeah, what? They're not in the ACC. No, they are in the ACC. That's ridiculous. They're a charter member. Where else would they go?
They're a Big East team.
What other conference would take Maryland? What other conference would be dumb enough to take Maryland?
What other conference would hunger after them? Like, oh, yeah, let's go get Maryland.
Sun hey, up. by the way, top 20 recruiter, Maryland. Shit. Were you aware of this, Spencer?
Man, you know what? Top 20 recruiter is like the Waffle House, influential member of the Waffle House determining something's good. All right, it just like, all right, if you say top 10, maybe that means something. But once you get past any ranking into the 15 to 25 range, you're just making it up. I think that's general for everything.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, that's mm-hmm. we already know that's true of, like, the top 25 in general for college football. Like, nobody looks and says, oh, that team's number 20.
No. I want you to, like, let's take this back to just another case, okay? Presidents, all right? If I ask you to list, like, five good presidents, you can think of five you can make a pretty good case for, right? You know, you're like, Lincoln. All right, that's cool. That's the Alabama presidents. Like, one. I mean, he's the Alabama presidents in every important way, but one.
As far as number of achievements go.
Correct.
And that's why Nick Saban won't go to the theater, y'all.
How was the play, Scott Cochran? But once you get to, if I said, who's the 15th best president? You'd be like, that guy's like, he's actually not that good.
However, if you said, who's the 43rd best president, you would know. And that is where Maryland usually recruits.
Fair.
So
we talk about Ole Miss now?
The 43rd president and Ole Miss probably do have several things in common.
I think it was Luke, maybe, who joked at the beginning of the day that he really wanted to see a coach come out and say, like, yeah, you know, this class is garbage. And Hugh Freeze came pretty close to doing that.
Did he call it a penalty? He said his class was a penalty.
Yeah, he said that. Yep. He said that about teenagers that he had convinced to come to his school. Like, holy shit! What a hard thing to hear on your first day officially affiliated with a new university. Like, well. Not the kid I wanted, but what can you do?
Well, welcome. I don't know why the good Lord saw fit to afflict me with this group of young men, but I have chosen to bear the burden of having to look at them for the next 3 to 4 years.
I am calling this the Job class.
I mean, really, like, Bud, you pay attention to this way more than we do. Have you ever heard of a coach just openly being like, yeah, I don't know, man, this is trash?
No. No, I haven't. I mean, this is...
Like, even in the USC years and some of those down Miami years, like, they still managed to put on the face of, you know, hey.
But you bitch about
excited
the
about who we got.
You
we,
bitch like, about the number of scholarships right. that you have. You don't right. bitch about the quality kids you use to fill the scholarships you actually do have.
Yeah, I mean, the line here is so easy. It's just, you just say, well, we're excited about the kids that we got. We think we got some diamonds in the rough. Like, even I can fucking rattle this
off. Mississippi is classically under-scouted. I mean, yeah. We definitely have some high-profile kids.
So, man.
At the very least, me, still relatively a recruiting novice, I know what to say no matter what happens. You know what? Not a class that you're going to see a whole lot of five stars in, but we addressed the needs that we had.
That's
there
right.
you go.
That's right.
We addressed our needs.
That's
Get
right.
out of the room.
We're more about
Don't do that.
We're more about
the
coaching
only,
them
the
up.
The only one allowed
them?
To complain about their class is Nick Saban, and he did.
Why would you pull it?
He got on TV and said, well, we would have liked to get more cornerbacks.
Can I remind everybody, where did they place? They were first.
Yeah,
they had their highest scoring class ever.
For the seventh year in a row?
Yeah. They convinced the top 100 recruit to take a gray shirt off.
But he got a free shirt, free trip to France, so that worked out.
Yeah, they converted the Eiffel Tower into the Alabama A. So.
Wait,
Put the little mullet at the top.
It certainly lacks the serifs necessary.
And this trip was overseen by another outlet that does video. Bleacher Report is the name of the outlet. You can say it. It's a nice video.
Fine. They did a fine job.
There's some backstory there.
Okay.
Over who was supposed to be broadcasting live at the opening this summer, because ESPN has it on TV, and maybe certain things were not supposed to be shown live. So that feud goes back a little bit longer than that awful announcing article had.
Can I give you a fun thing from Rivals recruiting rankings? Just a few fun things. I like to just throw these out here. Okay, because we're talking about Hugh Freeze. And if you remember the glee in Dan Mullen's voice when somebody asked him about his quarterback and who else had recruited him, and he gleefully said, UT Chattanooga. Ole Miss is ranked 39th, following teams all ahead of Ole Miss. Baylor, who, if you remember, had no recruits. They had like one recruit like a month ago. Congratulations. You fell behind a team that actually didn't have a recruiting class, Ole Miss. Pitt is a spot ahead of you. Oklahoma State and Arizona, both ahead of you.
Yeah, I mean, Pitt won the national championship, so yeah, I don't see what's out about that.
True. Yeah, I know. Put Pitt in.
But Arizona is confusing, yeah.
Yeah, Kentucky. Kentucky finished ahead of Ole Miss at 26th. Utah, a Pac-12 team, not named USC or Oregon or Washington, finished ahead of Ole Miss. Oh, Maryland? Yeah, that 17th spot. They finished way up there. Will Muschamp out-recruited you badly. But my favorite, in the 27th spot, sitting there with a cigar in his mouth, probably laughing his ass off in the house. At this point, Dan Mullen's house in Starkville, it's got to have add-ons to add-ons, right? Like, he's got to be like you in SimCity when you built the perfect city and you're like, I don't know, let's just build another arcology.
We could use a ninth floor.
Yeah. How many bubblas we got in this room? I don't know. We got like 9 bubblas. It's crazy. Yeah, they're at 27th. So they are a full 12 spots ahead of the penalty that is Ole Miss's recruiting class.
That's got to be the hashtag. Just follow them with that. Like, you know how coaches tweet like to brand their classes with hashtags? Yeah. Like, but what was FSU's this year? Like Tribe 17 or something?
Yeah, they just changed the year. It's always Tribe something.
That's easy to remember. So Ole Miss, we got to go the penalties.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a robust and rich brew. If you want to know, by the way, Randy Edsall, who pulled her scholarship from a recruit after coming on board after the firing of Bob Diaco, where'd they finish? 100th. 100th.
Good thing they cut the dead weight.
But was there anything else that we obviously just missed in making fun of most of this that is like an actual trend? I mean, we talked about Ole Miss tanking, talked about, yeah, Florida State and Alabama just raking in talent as usual. Is there anything that we missed?
Stanford had a really nice class. They got probably the two best offensive tackles in the country, the best like pocket passer, immobile passer in the country, and maybe the best pass-catching tight end. So your intellectual brutality Stanford ball is probably going to continue.
And Georgia.
Georgia. Really good. Georgia signed 20 four- and five-star recruits, and the rest of the SEC East combined signed 26.
Mm. Also, Oklahoma compared to the rest of the Big 12. Oklahoma had 18 blue chips, and the rest of the league had 14.
Yeesh.
Where did all those Texas recruits go? North to Oklahoma.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere else.
Yeah, everywhere.
Listen, during the summer, like, I know people don't really like to pay attention to recruiting until signing day, and I'm not just specifically calling out Ryan and Spencer, but pay attention to what Bud's telling you in the summer, because it'll pay off months later. Bud was telling you all about this. Recruits are holding on Texas and A&M to see how the season goes, and meanwhile, they're listening to Oklahoma. Look at the recruiting rankings.
I didn't talk to the right kids. Remember, if I had just talked to the other kids at the camp, we would have found the kids that love A&M.
I hear what you're saying, but summer is really when I catch up on Antiques Roadshow, and that's precious to me.
That's fine too. The February Antiques Roadshow, I'm sure it all pays off.
I don't actually know what I do in the summer, to be honest. Like, I have no clue. There's just 3 months of like blank space and eating and sleeping.
Hey, here's a good segue. This is a question from David Fulton at The Real Fulton. What's an acceptable number of beers to drink while mowing per hour spent?
Hmm. Well, I guess the first question is, are we talking like a ride-on mower here?
Give us all the permutations. Shit.
Well, I think, first of all, the overarching question, and I will throw to Bud here, he's the yard work expert, is what do you mean by acceptable? Because if you're writing this show, that bar is low.
Well, let's view acceptable as optimal in terms of mowing efficiency and drink refreshment. You're trying to balance those two things, and if you overserve, you're gonna, you know, maybe feel more refreshed, but you're not gonna be as good at mowing. If you focus too much on the mowing, you're not gonna feel as refreshed. So where is the sweet spot?
You wanna have a good time but not fuck up your yard.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're not talking about, I initially read it as, how many should you drink when you're done mowing? We're talking about like before and during.
I see. Wow. Okay. And as a principle of statutory construction, I have no choice but to read "wow" as meaning
you
during.
Sure you're not still barred?
I can't talk about it.
I'm gonna say probably no more than 3 an hour.
I agree. If somebody's pounding like 5 beers an hour while they mow the lawn, they are there for other purposes than landscaping.
Like, you could probably still do a pretty good job. I mean, if you 6 beers, 2 hours of yard work, I don't think anybody would notice. But I'm a pretty big guy. I'm not quite as big as Ryan here in the booth, but
yeah, Bud says I'm up to 260, so look out.
Blooming. I got a question from, and Bud said he had an answer here, from Dr. Patty Jones on Twitter. Did anyone commit by holding up a baby animal this year? The answer is no. There's almost always a dog. There was never a dog. Georgia had its best class ever without any dogs, though they did have a baby pug like a month ago, but I don't think that counts. Bud, what you got here?
So somebody in the studio, I think it might have been Jess, said, has anybody committed like gender reveal style where they actually cut into the cake to reveal the colors? And I said, no, people have had different cakes and then they cut into that, you know, different cake. But I don't think anybody's ever committed via revealing like the colors of the cake. So next year, somebody definitely needs to do that.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you're going to do that, your top 3 or 4, or however it is, they need to be pretty distinct. Because then you're going to get into a like, no, he cut. That's Tennessee orange. That's not Texas orange.
That's perfect. We'll blog that.
We will blog that.
I have decided to choose between the University of Alabama, Nebraska, and Oklahoma. Here's my choice.
Oh, no. Surprise. Bye. Surprise Ohio State cake.
We did have Jemias Williams not pick the nicer hat, maybe for the first time ever.
You know, Bud and I were talking about this on the live show, that usually you see the hats laid out, and there's one that looks like it's already been sort of pre-treated to look good on your head, and the other ones still have stickers on them or look like you bought them at the gas station. They're ratchet is what they are.
Yeah.
And normally the recruit goes with the hat that's going to look good, but this guy took my advice and use that logic against everybody.
He turned down a chrome Georgia hat, sticker still on, flat bill.
That hat looked like a goddamn Puff Daddy video. Yeah. And he picked the thing that he found in his uncle's golf cart. I was stunned. I had the post prepped. I had my finger on the button. He picked up the garbage hat, and I couldn't move.
I think he was making an honest statement to himself without realizing it about what it's going to be like to play at Georgia for the next couple of years versus what it's going to be like to play for Will Muschamp.
I have decided to never again touch anything shiny. I'll be going to South Carolina. I couldn't believe he's a master of deception. Like, Muschamp's defense isn't known for all that manner of deceit, but man, you need to have this kid back there doing all kinds of deceptive work.
But how much time do you get to take off now between, like, have you already started thinking about next year's recruiting class?
Well, today is National Unfollow Day, so okay. Unless you're actually legitimately funny as a recruit, and there's maybe like 5 of them, you're gonna get the unfollow today, and somebody's going to have to figure out how to follow all these 2018 kids.
You've already threatened several members of our staff. with that duty.
I tell you, you know, if y'all are don't look too busy there in the Slack, I might drop that Trello card down and be like, hey, today is National Follow Day.
We tell no lies on this show. Bud has done this.
But like, when does that start in earnest? Because it feels like it just is constant. And I know part of that is because it's dominated by the outlets that only do recruiting. So they have a vested interest in making you think that this is literally a 365-day-a-year thing because you're paying for it on those sites. But realistically, when can most people actually start to pay attention to next year if they want to?
If you really want to pay attention next year, spring is, you know, kind of late spring. A lot of the offers go out. You get college coaches stopping by spring football at high schools across the South and in places that actually play spring ball. That's kind of when the picture starts to become a little clearer as far as who's going to get offers. In summer camp season, it clarifies a little more. This year, the timetable might get moved up because of the potential for the early signing day that the NCAA is contemplating. I'm actually going to be in Houston on Saturday for the Houston Nike camp.
So when I ask how many days do you get off, the answer is one.
I'm going to take some days off, but I used to try and take, you know, like almost immediately off after signing day, and there's still some good blogging to do after those days. So the week after this week is the week I'll probably really not be available too much.
Is Spencer back? Did you die?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm back.
Hey!
We missed you.
Dad's home.
Dad's home, and he's furious. So look out, kids.
By comparison, Spencer, when is the next time that you're going to pay attention to college football recruiting?
365 days from now.
College football recruiting? Yeah, about 363 days.
Okay. Have you ever gotten into it at all at any point?
No.
Yeah.
No. I don't. I would just prefer to be handed an Excel sheet quarterly. And somebody just looks at it. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. That's it. I mean, there are so many people who compile this stuff for you that the idea of trying to become independently knowledgeable on it seems like it's just economically, like, inefficient. Not only do I have Bud, I have like 400 tables that I can pull off of recruiting sites. I have, you know, at least three or four people I know who I can ask and just go, okay, how are they doing? Right. At this point, there's coaches who will tell you, yeah, you know, like they get pretty frank about it. They're like, yeah, I don't know. We're not really seeing what we want. And you can get an idea. That's if you need it. Right. And there is one other thing that makes this all a lot easier. And it's that there's a huge correlation between getting 3, 4, and 5 stars and being in the top 10. It's just, like, there's no real genius to that. So you can look at that and you can kind of, you know, go back and sort of go, oh yeah, that class of 2012, it's right here. Somebody laid it all out for me, and look at that. The only thing I wish I knew more about was who recruited where. That to me is kind of interesting, because then I can actually see, like, okay, who makes a difference and who doesn't, right? Like, for example, Damian Craig was just fired at LSU, okay? And all I'd heard about when he was at Florida State was, man, this guy's an amazing recruiter, right? He's phenomenal. And then, like, today it's like, oh man, Damian Craig's fired. Okay. Like, what happened? I need to know.
This is secretly one of the most interesting days in the college football calendar, because it's when all the position coaches get axed that you're like, oh, so you were just keeping him until that kid signed the letter. Oh, well, that's fun. That seems cool. So,
like, maybe... So- 4-star defensive tackle Neil Farrell out of Mobile.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who went to LSU.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Bud can probably answer this best, but is it true that some of these, they're not officially recruiting coordinators, but they're not really position coaches? Like, their contracts are more geared around post signing day?
As far as, like, when they expire and whatnot?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, that's actually something we should FOIA. I'm trying to think.
All right. Other outlets.
Don't listen. Don't listen, no, other outlets.
No takesies.
You guys don't turn off your listener stats on SoundCloud, so I feel safe saying this. So.
He's not wrong.
No.
He's not wrong. Yeah, it is helpful that it is just sort of a volume game. I agree with Spencer. You could just sort of look at it and be like, oh, did we get a lot of the good guys? Cool. It's not – the NFL draft is very different because, you know, if you care about a specific team, they're really only, you're only going to get maybe three chances to get somebody who is probably going to be on the roster long term. So you, I get why people obsess over it, but it is weird that people get, like, Bud was saying today that the was the LSU message board was hopping because Marvin Wilson ended up going to Florida State. And it's like, yeah, it's just, it's one guy. And if it was the NFL draft and you were like, shit, we really missed out on, you know, this one amazing player. Yeah, that makes sense in the grander scheme. But, like, one guy can't tip it that far. I mean, you can get mad about how your class looks overall, but you shouldn't get mad over one player. That just seems ridiculous.
If you were going to get mad over one player, though,
yeah,
this is where I will actually pay attention to, like, individual players. Quarterback.
Okay.
That's
but,
quarterback.
But, again, if you're an LSU fan, you're used to living without that.
Yeah,
so,
if you're an LSU fan, I'm going to define the position as the most important offensive player on the field, usually lining up.
running back intermediary.
My single favorite thing about LSU's class, two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Coach O said, well, we're taking just one at a time out of where we're going to take two.
I got the number one pick on the one quarterback's crystal ball because when he decommitted, I forgot to flip my crystal ball to Auburn because I was busy, like, actually creating content as opposed to just crystal balling daily. And then he decided he was not going to flip to Auburn as planned, and he recommitted to LSU. So my existing pick from, like, 2014 of LSU was then the number one LSU
Brilliant.
Pick for the kid.
You did
and,
it, bud.
Yeah.
You did
so
it.
My LSU predictor ranking shot up like
you're
crazy.
You're a champion. We got any more questions we want to hit?
Jason, you fancy any of those?
Let's see if any new ones have dropped in. What's the most Georgia way to landscape a yard? I'm guessing it involves guns. Yes, Daniel. You're right. That's not even one we need to answer.
The most Georgia way to landscape your lawn is to get a bunch of ingrates from Ohio to come down here and burn it for you.
Wow. That's...
Oh, my God.
It's factual.
Oh, I like this one. This is from Dakota Moyer. Would you agree that trimming palm trees builds the most character as landscaping goes? I'm going to say no, because character building has to be something that trimming palm trees is something you got to work up to. You got to sort of show that you already have character before you earn the privilege of getting to use the long toggle palm tree trimmer. What builds character is hauling mulch.
Yes.
Once you once you as a middle schooler are asked to go to Home Depot, maybe get a hot dog, but probably not, and have to load the truck with mulch bags and then carry the mulch bags and then spread them out. Like, there is nothing more character building than saying, hey, take this fancy trash, haul it, and spread it nicely, because that's what mulch is.
And because it's summer, it will have rained.
Yes.
And so the mulch bag will act, and Home Depot keeps their mulch outside,
right.
So the mulch bag will contain a lot of excess moisture. When you pick it up, the, like, nasty-ass mulch juice will squirt on your
You
shirt.
Know what it might also have? Is fucking ants. Mulch bag, I guarantee you, 1 in 5, that shit's got
fire ants
all up in it. So that's the maximum landscaping character building exercise is mulching.
I don't actually agree with character building. We just need to call it pain tolerance, okay? Because, like, that's all it is.
We're speaking Big Ten here. Things that suck make you a better person. We're describing Southern things in Big Ten terminology.
Yeah.
Remember, character building is what somebody who doesn't want to pay you calls something that sucks. For you to do it, right? Like, that's all it is, right?
Oh.
That's what your dad says. Your dad's like, well, you need to go out and do this chore I don't want to do because it'll build your character. Sure.
Yep. I did want to talk briefly about Oregon just because, Godfrey did an embed at Oregon and wrote a very nice piece that you should go find on our website about Willie Taggart's first class there. But B, more personally, I got sent a link to a Tampa area high school coach, the coach at the high school I attended, Hillsboro, basically said that he claims other coaches in Tampa had no relationship with Willie Taggart, and that by losing Willie Taggart to Oregon and getting Charlie Strong, USF has gone from a Kia to a Cadillac.
Oregon's basically creating Florigan as is their catchphrase, and they're they got more good kids out of Florida than they probably ever have before under Chip or Helfrich. So that's
– well.
Yeah.
Shut down, Volcast.
Okay.
Sponsored by Kia. A perfectly good car and nobody buys Cadillacs anymore.
Exactly. Like, listen, I'm just going to ride for the Sorrento for the rest of my life.
What I mostly like about comments like this is that, and this is definitely true in other states as well, I like the coaches who are so invested in like their personal relationship with college coaches. And I get that it's important, and I get that you can't just sort of like, you know, ignore it, but I'm sorry.
This happens every time.
Though. No, no,
every
no.
Every time
this
a coach
is...
leaves anywhere, like look at what Texas coaches are saying about Charlie Strong right now.
Someone just gets to come out and like talk shit. That's it.
Yeah, all the high school coaches get to say, actually, we didn't like that guy.
I trailed off there because Bud made me stop back on my timeline, and Bud's going to tell you why.
We found another Butch Jones thing during this podcast.
Oh, this is a Bob Shoup thing. Tennessee, but
that's fine. No, I know what you're going to say, and it's good.
Bob Shoup thinks that the defense needs less drama, also less injuries.
Which I'd maybe flip those two. Yeah. I maybe lead with less injuries.
Yeah. Again, like why do we always lead with the metaphorical? Why don't we lead with we need fewer ruptured ligaments?
Is that, but like when he said that, is that kind of trying to sound like he's avoiding excuses? Because like if you say we had too many injuries, then everyone says, oh, why make excuses? You should coach your way around that. But if he says we had this problem and also injuries, I don't know. I'm defending Tennessee. I'm sorry for that.
You should be.
Jason's defending Tennessee because he wants to be able to blog everything Tennessee like for the rest of time. It's straight content.
I mean, shit. Jason might be in line to be the next coach. Who knows?
Like 2 hours ago, there was another Butch Jones quote that I was like, "Hey, we should blog this." And so, and Alex said, "Well, I don't know. This is kind of a misread of what he actually meant." And I was like, "Okay, fine. We'll stand down." And then Five Star Heart showed up, and it was like, "Shit."
I think that means that Butch Jones reads SB Nation, says something. If we don't blog it, he's like, "All right, let's go up." Well, that was a 7. I'll give you an 8.
You have to fence him in. You have to resist. You have to contain him. Otherwise, you'll normalize his behavior.
You can't normalize Butch Jones.
Never normalize Butch Jones.
I did actually. Did we discuss the baby animal question?
We did, yeah. You were disconnected.
If you run away in, that's out,
sure.
That's fine.
Editing this is going to be a fucking nightmare anyway, so.
No,
great, don't. Great. I think holding up the actual Trojan mascot. That is the Trojan. I think that would be really like a wriggling,
a baby version.
No. You have to. I think you have to be super meta with this. What you do is you get wheeled in a wooden construction of another school's mascot. Like if you're considering going to UCLA, you get wheeled in a wooden bear, and then you burst forth in USC clothing. It works on all levels.
Please do this, someone.
Either that, somebody needs to do that, or they need to have the sack with some poor guy in a Trojan costume, like wriggling in it, right? And then just sort of releases him, right? And somebody's like, "Who was that guy?" And you're like, "I don't know. I just picked him up, put him in a sack. I'm a linebacker. I get the man I'm assigned, and I picked him off the side of the road and put him in a Trojan outfit." The other one would be if somebody held up the box of condoms, right? Somebody said, "Well, you know, you should hold up a box of condoms, right?" And I thought, well, they're high schoolers, right? They're gonna be like, "Yo, they're magnums, right?"
Also, people might think you're going to Arizona State.
and then you think about it and you say, "Actually, I think I will go to Arizona State."
I think that would be the best recruiting pitch for Arizona State if on signing day Todd Graham's just waiting there. And he hasn't made the offer, and he hasn't even talked to them or made any contact with them. And they go, "Yeah, you know, I've decided I'm going to take my talents to," picks nicest hat off the table, "Alabama." And then Todd Graham just like pops up and goes, "But what if you went to Arizona State?" Like half of them would be like,
"Oh shit, I hadn't even thought about that." I mean,
you know what? That sounds great. Bye. like just then, like Todd Graham. And, you know, it's not like Todd Graham doesn't have experience hastily leaving places on jets with a deal, okay? Mm-hmm. So he could just do that.
But this time he gets to do it with a daiquiri.
Right. Like that's, again, five-star recruit, like, out of plaque mine, right? Sitting there like, "Yeah, I'm thinking about going to USC. But what if you went to Arizona State?" It's amazing. I think this works for like all levels of life, right? When you're like, well, I was thinking about taking that job in Anchorage, and somebody just pops their head out of a garbage can. They're like, you could go to Arizona State.
I'm thinking about taking the LSAT, or you could go to Arizona State.
And like 50% of the people, like people think there are plans in life and things that you should do or shouldn't do and destinations and destinies and things that should be. That's a lie. Just apply the Arizona State like, thing to it. You're like, I don't know. I was thinking about taking this other job.
I bet if you wanted to, Spencer, you could get a tenure track professor job at Arizona State within a year.
Oh, I want tenure in a year. That's what I want.
Like 3 years to school president. I think, listen, y'all. All we do is give out good ideas for free. Listen, Arizona State, Todd Graham, I know you're listening. Hashtag, or you could go to Arizona State. Every tweet.
All right.
Let's try that. Like, after a recruit tweets out his top four and your Arizona State's not on it, just reply with that.
Let's just try this with our trash president, right? Just like. He'd fall for it too. He'd be like, "This is a great idea." He's basically the like half blind dumbass at the OTB spinning conspiracy theories for you. So he's got like his white supremacist council over there going like, "You should start a war with Iran." And like Todd Graham pops out of the like desk and he's like, "Or you could go to Arizona."
Todd
like,
Graham will save the world.
Right.
Todd Graham is our last.
With
hope.
His Britney Spears style headset.
Oh God.
Like all these pundits are like, he's diabolical. It seems like a simple strategy, but it's working. Most stable country in the world. Our president's been in Tempe for 3 years straight. What's he doing? Daiquiris! Is that how a president acts? It's preferable.
It is now.
Yeah. It is now. Does it help Arizona State like go better than 9-3? No. That's
nothing does. No.
No.
So this came up yesterday. Do you think we could create a fake recruit Twitter account and convince fans, not saying Tennessee fans here, any fan base of course.
right.
To tweet at it to go to come to their school.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we could. I absolutely think we could.
Another idea, other outlets, please don't steal. We're going to do a year-long story on this.
Here's the problem. We'll get too invested in it, and then we'll accidentally commit to Arizona State.
What's the problem? Like... The only problem is how do we decide which of us gets to go?
It's going to be you, Jason. I've seen Spencer and I. We can't do it.
Yeah, which coach, by the way, is going to actually like fall for it first?
I've already ripped on Tennessee so much today.
Wait.
No. The answer is Rutgers.
Did Shannon do this at Miami?
No, the answer is Rutgers. Rutgers is going to be like, a recruit that nobody's snapped up? Hello!
But wasn't it Randy Shannon who is literally just looking at Rivals rankings?
Yes.
Okay, so all we got to do is foil the outlets, and then someone will follow.
Well, Randy Shannon's probably not in a position of importance now.
No, surely he's not back at a Power 5 school.
So, that's cool.
For sure.
No, back in the day, the stories like Rivals and Scout used to do this to each other. They would create a fake recruit and then say, like, this school offered to see if the other outlet would steal their information.
Wow. Okay, so we need to get back to this, and then...
Recruiting is the dumbest Cold War ever!
Really. I predict two things will happen. Two things, okay? Will happen when we create our fake recruit, okay? One, that he'll become real. It'll be like the Tibetan story of the hat.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about the hat as a monster so often that the hat becomes real.
So we're making our own... what is it, Shazam, the movie with Sinbad?
to use the Creflo Dollar phrase, we will speak him into existence.
Okay.
Correct. This is our Mandela effect moment. We will actually speak this recruit into existence. He will walk onto the stage. We'll have no idea who he is. He'll actually just be like an 18-year-old who's large. He'll never played before, and somebody will just show up as his mother, right? It'll just all spontaneously happen. And then when it happens, we'll be like, oh, shit. This has gone way too far. This is absolutely insane.
Just right? Some large Swedish boy who doesn't speak English.
Exactly. Somebody will just claim to be his mother because we'll have written about him, and some like delusional person will just show up and be like, "Yeah, I'm
Henrik's mother."
For a whole
yeah,
we are going to Arizona State.
Yeah. And what will happen? He'll say, I'm announcing I'm going to the University of Florida, and then out of a garbage can, Todd Graham will pop up, the real Todd Graham, and he'll go, but did you think about going to Arizona State? And he'll go.
I did want to ask, since you two are actually our Georgia correspondents, like state of Georgia, we determined that he would probably have to be from one of these like super, like small Georgia counties. What Georgia county should our fake recruit be from?
Or can you make up a new Georgia county?
Well, we have about 200 guys.
Right, that's
counties.
Why we picked Georgia.
Right.
I would go one of those. Can we go one of those counties that's like probably down around Waycross? Can we do that?
I think we hit them with the head fake. We go with Butts County. So then all they do is laugh at Butts County. They don't actually check. We hide it in sight.
Hold on. Hashtag fake cruits.
They'll say, ha ha ha, Butts County, that can't be real. Anyway, I don't know where this kid's from, but he's got an Arizona State offer.
Okay, because I was going to go Troitland County. He's out of Soperton High School in Troitland. Because everybody will be like, Troitland, oh, that's acceptably obscure.
Oh, yeah, a lot of good kids. See, I've never even heard of that county.
Is that Troitland? Fake?
No, it's real, okay. Troitland. Yeah, remember, there's actually a Jeff Davis County.
Jeff Davis. Jesus.
See, like, the thing about living in Georgia is you can live here for decades and still have never heard of, like, lots of the counties.
It's like the Louvre.
Yeah, my wife and I printed out a map with all the counties once and kept it in the car and played county bingo for about 2 years. And there were counties on there that we never saw. Never.
Oh, yeah. There are probably 100 Georgia counties I've never been in.
What is the fastest time you could actually drive through every Georgia county?
Oh,
like, geez, you had to
that's,
do it.
No, you can't. No,
I don't think there are probably some that don't have roads.
Like over.
Sorry.
Oh, what? Do you think Decatur County or Miller, like one of those places that's just like pine trees and syphilis down in the south?
Sorry, sorry, son. This county's a lake.
Seminole County? No, son. They got nothing. By the way, there is a Telfair County, which is a corruption of Talifera, which is also a county. Okay. So we have a Telfair, we have a Talifera, and then we have a Telfair.
You have a designer imposter county.
We have a designer imposter county of a nothing county. Good. There's a Dade County, Georgia. Where it is? It's the furthest northwest corner. Do you know what it's famous for? Two things. The real life inspiration for Matlock was born there, and the Klan. That's what Dade County is famous for in Georgia.
Our best and our worst.
Our best and our worst. But yeah, we'll say he's from Troitland County. We'll say he's from Soberton High School. And we'll just set him up, and he'll end up going to fucking Arizona State.